How are you?
I'm doing well.
Up there yesterday, you were just telling Tommy and me a little wet, mm-hmm. and that may mean with a few more things going on today. You know, what is the, I don't want to say the rule, but what's sort of the protocol if it's raining up there? You don't want to get the course too messed up, but the guys need to get in as much practice time as they can. What's today like on the day before a major when it's raining?
Most of the guys have played Monday and Tuesday. I would think some of them might be getting in an extra nine holes today, but the combination of the conditions, it's just a pain in the rear to go out there with your caddy and have to deal with an umbrella and everything getting wet. And but then again, you got to do your work, your due diligence, and figure out the golf course too. So unfortunately, it looks like the forecast is going to be very similar to what we've seen the last few days, where we could have this all week.
You know, we may not be alive, but eventually there will be an indoor golf course. I'm convinced of that. It may not be on this continent. It may be Japan. It may be Qatar or somewhere like that. But
you got to find some pretty good land.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. Eventually, somebody's got the money already. It's just a matter of actually putting it together. I want to get your full preview of this weekend, but let's start with the big, big news from yesterday that was made mm-hmm. up in Charlotte officially, although I guess it had been rumored for a while. And just to remind everybody, the PGA, along with the PGA Tour yesterday, announced that starting in 2019, the PGA Championship will move from August to May. And so that's going to mean the Players in March, the Masters in April, the PGA in May, the U.S. Open in June, and the Open Championship in July. I think this is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I was elated, but I mean, we have you on to talk about it a lot. I love the golf majors. I love the intensity of the Ryder Cup and things like that. But it wasn't lost on a lot of people that there did feel like a little bit of a lull. And that by the time the PGA came around here in mid-August, people are paying attention, but they're paying attention to a lot of things. Pennant races, NFL camp, college camp, whatever else is going on this time of year. How does a golf professional like yourself feel about this news?
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, when people ask me how we're going to play this year, this time of year, I know they're talking football.
Right.
They're not talking about golf. I think in general, it's a great move for golf, and I think you have to look at the money side of things. Obviously, with the FedEx Cup playoffs, Ryder Cups, President's Cups, the Olympics now. I think everything factored into this made a lot of sense. I think it's going to be really exciting to have the Players Championship followed up in a month or so by the Masters, by the PGA, the U.S. Open. It's all going to space out really well. The only thing that logistically and I think they haven't alluded to it in detail yet, but there some tournaments are going to suffer from this change. And I think we'll just have to work through that. But I think it's great overall for golf.
Will a tournament like Hilton Head benefit from this? Already we don't see the top players on the planet go to Hilton Head the week after the Masters. But now that there's another major, and might it even depend on the year? I mean, obviously such a very different type of course, Bill. But could that be something that helps just so guys stay kind of in a playing rhythm?
It very well could. I mean, it's you know, you're going to have you're going to have a lot of the world's best players are going to be their schedule's somewhat going to be more condensed now, isn't it? I mean, you'd have to think. So I hope it helps their field. It'll be curious to see what it does. I guess it's going to affect somewhat the Florida swing, the Players Championship moving up into March, and then I think the Texas swing's affected mm-hmm. somewhat. So there's going to have to be some maneuvering around, and it'll be interesting to see what the guys do with their schedules for sure.
I haven't read any feedback from across the pond yet, but you would think that this would be pleasing to those in Europe and in Great Britain, because now they can be the cleanup hitter in the Grand Slam, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's, what was it, the 50s or so, the last time they played the PGA Championship in May?
In May, yeah.
I'm one that even being an American, I feel like it's somewhat unfair that three of the major championships are on U.S. soil. I would even go so far as I'd like to see the PGA Championship be like a worldwide type mm-hmm. event. I think the way the game has grown, I think that's the direction I would like to see it go in. But I'm excited about it. I mean, anything that you know, sometimes the PGA Championship gets a little bit lost. Let's be honest. Like you said, it's in August. We're talking football. We're excited about just just college football around here and NFL in general. And then we've had some incredible FedEx Cup playoffs, some great Ryder Cups and all that all seem to get lost a little bit sometimes and everything. And maybe this will help move that calendar up as well.
Ironically, it may be that Quail Hollow could be one of those that suffers a little bit, because if I'm not mistaken, typically the Wells Fargo has been in mid-May. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that.
Yeah.
So, and yet they make the announcement there yesterday. Now, you know, give them a major every so often and they'll probably be okay with it. But they'll still find a spot, because that's been one of the more popular regular season stops anyway.
It has been, but I think from what I've read about what Mr. Harris's intent was with all the changes they made at Quail Hollow was for it to be more of a major type venue, and I think based on what I've seen when I took the team up in May and then what I saw yesterday, they've done some incredible things up there to host really large events.
4 years ago, the green's in pretty rough shape. I don't think there's much secret about that, but so they've taken care of that, and they've also, I guess, opened things up a little bit with less trees. They've taken some trees down.
They, in 89 days, I think they I was reading an article this morning, they started work on the front nine last year in the final round of the Wells Fargo. And in 89 days, they had everything cleared and grassed, new champion Bermuda greens. They've rerouted number one. Two is gone now, the old number two. The old number three now is number two. So the first five or six holes are really different. And they've opened up the entire place. Like it's they've taken a ton of trees out. It's amazing the work they've done, and it's definitely a venue now that you could see hosting major championships just like they are.
Right, and they've kind of countered that by thickening the rough. You said
the rough is that length where it's definitely going to bother you. You're going to get some really squirrely lies. The player this week that has control of their ball off the tee and into the greens is definitely going to have an advantage.
Bill McDonald with us, Gamecock men's golf coach. He was up on the course at Quail Hollow yesterday, and you're heading out for a couple of days for the tournament too. So we'll get a full preview. Before we move on to some more of that real quick here, one of the drawbacks is that some of the most northern spots that have hosted majors, places like Hazeltine or more recently Whistling Straits, things like that, you know, just won't be – even though I was telling Tommy yesterday, you can play baseball in Minnesota and Wisconsin in May, so you could play golf, but it's not just that simple, because as you just sort of alluded to, a golf course needs prep time. Mm-hmm. It would almost have to be that a place like that would have to basically be prepped, and then you just sort of winterize.
Yeah.
And then hope like heck that by mid-April you've got enough that you can get out there and fix the course again. I'd hate to see some of those places go away, but that could be a drawback. If not, I was saying you kind of work with the USGA and you try to say, all right, look, we'll do this in May, and y'all can have that one in June. But USGA may say, well, we want to play at Hazeltine, and you PGA can go do whatever you want to do. We don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, it's that is an element of it that'll be interesting to see how they handle. I mean, you look at the British Open just a few weeks ago. I mean, there you see guys putting on all kinds of clothes and dealing with all kinds of conditions. I mean, sometimes and I'm a college golf coach, man. I don't get out of my rain suit sometimes for a month in the spring, it feels like. So whether or not there's a lot more to it than just getting the golf course ready. There's that aspect of it as well. But and in terms of whether weather would hurt in staging the event at all from a logistical standpoint. But yeah, I thought about that when I saw the classic northern courses. Would they be ready in May? That was really the first thing that came through my mind as well.
Because again, by May, the weather will be fine in May, but it's getting it ready that will be the tricky part more than anything else. Just from all your connections on tour and the friends you have and the people you speak with, how long have maybe golfers wanted to see this change? I mean, did this come from the playing members of the PGA and the tour, or was this more of the bean counters? And I mean that in a positive way, but did the money guys say to everybody else, hey, we really need to do this? What did you hear about that angle?
Well, I think and I'm a little bit maybe of just part of the old guard. I really miss the beginning of the season being in into January or whatever, when they're out sometime in January when they're starting out in Hawaii.
Yeah, go to Hawaii, then California.
Yeah, I miss those
days.
Then
hit Doral, yeah.
So I'm somewhat exhausted from the wraparound season now, and the Olympics getting involved with golf is great for the sport, but that's changed things too. So I would just like to see them do make the adjustments that they can. I think this is a good one, by the way, and I think myself, and from talking to my friends in the PGA and all, I mean, we just want things to settle down for a little while. Golf is still trying to find its niche somewhat from a ratings perspective, and I mean, I think one of the interesting things about the last year or so is you know, the lack of Tiger talk. We all thought that if Tiger's not involved in the majors, you know, how's that going to affect? I mean, I hate to say it, but it hasn't been really with the emergence of Spieth and all the great young players. It's like golf at the highest levels doing fine, and you just want to see the sport continue to grow, and for them to maximize their ratings potential, which is obviously a big part of it.
One thing that didn't seem to factor in as much, and I'm sure it does somewhere, but this time of year, and again, we're sort of catching a break across the Deep South these last couple of weeks with temperatures in the 70s and 80s. I mean, you know, it's been in the 80s almost every day in Columbia for almost 2 weeks, and our weather is pretty much Charlotte's weather. Mm-hmm. Typically, it would be brutally hot. And yeah. But at least when it's in the South, and I remember a PGA a few years ago in Oklahoma, and the temperatures hovered around 100 every single day, and that's because it's August.
Yeah.
Well, that I felt like that had to play in somewhat, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. As Tommy and I were kind of joking yesterday, but if a guy's going for darn near $2 million, he'll play in 200 degrees if he has to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was at the Athletic Club a few years ago in Atlanta, and it was plenty hot over there. It was interesting yesterday seeing him in shorts.
Yeah. Weird seeing Phil Mickelson in shorts. That was just weird.
He walked by me going to the first tee. So he said, "Go, Phil." I didn't even notice him.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was great. And
seeing Phil wear shorts, by the way, it's like when I first saw my granddad wear shorts. Like, my granddad never wore shorts. Like, men in the South, it seemed just, you know, he didn't. And I remember when I was like, like, what are you doing? And, but I felt the same way, and I shouldn't, because Phil and I are about the same age.
Kaku's on a white shirt.
Yeah, you know, exactly. My granddad didn't even own a pair of jeans, I don't think. Absolutely. So,
yeah.
Anyway, well, I think this is fantastic for golf, and I do like the fact that the so-called fifth major, the Players down in Ponte Vedra, will move back to March as well, mm-hmm. because the guys treat that so reverently, and it is a very popular course.
And by the way, that's better for that golf course.
Yeah. That time of year,
the May in Jacksonville is a transition time for that course, and this is going to help their preparation tremendously. So I'm sure that had a little bit to do with it.
And the Alligators are a little slower in March; they're still coming out of the winter funk right there. By May, they're fully active and ready to go, just like down on Hilton Head. Bill McDonald with us here talking golf. One more big time note before we get the previews of the PGA from your perspective, but Augusta National, this is not officially yet, but Augusta National apparently has bought an amount of land from the Augusta Country Club that will allow Augusta National to lengthen the 13th hole by extending the tee box back. They won't mess with the green or anything like that, obviously, but and again, it's not official, although the Augusta Chronicle, good for them, obtained a copy of a letter from the country club to its members saying what was going on. And I love the fact that it said, this will help us be financially solvent for many years to come. So as I told Tommy, they're not trading a couple of cases of beer for some land over there somewhere. I don't know what the amount is.
Right.
But how do you feel about that? I mean, clearly one of the most famous holes in all of golf.
Yeah. And what you've seen over the years is those guys, you hardly see anybody hitting driver there anymore. They're turning around the corner and having sometimes a short iron in if it's playing firm, and I think it's great. I've been going down there since I was a kid to the tournament. Been fortunate enough to play it a few times, and Augusta Country Club as well. Number 9 runs right there to the back, just up on top of that hill there behind 12 green and 13 tee, and you've always wondered what they could do with that if they had it. So just as a fan and a lover of the game, I'd like to see where this goes. I don't think it's going to hurt number 13 at all to move the tee back some, and I think it might put driver back in the hands and ask the. You just don't see a lot of guys trying to hit high draws anymore with the new technology, and that's what you have to do there if the tee's back.
Yeah, and what would that increase, like 40 or 50 yards or more for that hole?
Well, I think you want to go back to the day where they, just getting it to the corner used to be a big deal. Then you've got that hanging 3-wood or long iron off the, and some of these guys now, I'm so jealous of them. I mean, I was just watching Rory earlier this morning hit it out of the range at Quail Hollow. He was in at 365. I'm like, that's a wedge, man, between me and
my. Did you see him hit in that astronaut suit the other day, by the way?
Yeah.
And hit it almost 400 yards?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I know. But it's so hard to, and you're seeing it with what Quail Hollow did, it's so hard to sometimes figure out how to keep up with what the players can do. But it should be good for the National and for the Masters championship as well. And I'm sure everybody at Augusta Country Club's just fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I said, from what I can tell, it'll help them not only fix the number 9 issue the issue that I guess will emerge because of mm-hmm. that. But
right.
Again, as the letter stated in so many words, we're going to be all right with this.
Yeah.
So y'all just say yes and let's move on about our business.
And speaking of Rory, yeah. He's got pretty good memories of Quail Hollow.
Oh, he's played some fantastic golf there and probably the prohibitive favorite this week if he's on his game at all.
We'll talk more about that coming up for you. Hideki Matsuyama with a big win this past weekend. What is he looking like? We'll get that and so much more from Coach Bill McDonald as the PGA Championship tees off officially tomorrow morning just up the road in Charlotte. Halftime show will be right back. Gamecock men's golf coach Bill McDonald with us previewing the PGA Championship, the final major of the year, gets underway tomorrow morning at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. And as you mentioned, Bill, Tommy was asking it, you know, Rory has won there on the regular tour a couple of times, but the focus, at least early, is certainly going to be on Jordan Spieth as he goes for the career Grand Slam. Now, I did research on baseball yesterday. I did some golf research this morning. No member of the career Grand Slam club needed more than 3 tries to get that final leg of the career Grand Slam. And then they mentioned that, like, Palmer and Watson, who never won the PGA, which is arguably, I hate to say the easiest, but let's say the least difficult to win, perhaps, of the 4, mm-hmm. had a combined almost 60 tries at mm-hmm. winning a PGA championship.
Wow.
So it's either you better get it done quick,
yeah.
otherwise you're not going to do it. But Jordan is playing at a high level again, obviously, and almost had a screw-up and then found a way to correct it, won the British last month. You know, he's playing well. Rory seems to have his injury concerns out of the way. And I just don't think, and that's why I mentioned Matsuyama coming in, you're going out of the break there, and I want to bring it back with you for all 3 of those guys. Here they are in their mid-20s. Matsuyama's won a bunch. He mm-hmm. just hadn't won a major yet. But he's
yeah.
only 25 years old. I feel like he seems older, but mm-hmm. he's not.
And dominated last week.
Yeah. I mean, I think he won by 5 yeah. strokes last week.
61 final round.
Yeah. At a tough, tough place to play and yeah. where a lot of big names are the champion. Who do you feel like has, of those 3, will one of those guys come away with? I mean, I know you can't fully predict, but it feels like one of those 3 is going to win this thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all if one of the 3 wins. I think that, to me, Rory, that's no stretch, but I think he's had the reps now. He's been playing a lot over the last month, and I just think his game, he loves the golf course, loves the venue. I think it sets up well for him in the sense that he can drive the ball so far and sometimes so accurately. That's the ridiculous combination that I think could open up this golf course for some people. The statistically, Jordan Spieth just hasn't driven a ball that well this year. He's around 100th in the driving stats, and it could possibly be a tough week for him if he struggles off the tee. It's going to be a very difficult golf course to grind out pars on. You're going to have to be really good with your yardages, which means coming on your approach shots, which means coming out of the fairway. There are going to be a lot of guys who miss fairways and can't even go for the green. They're going to be chopping out of the rough. So that puts a lot of pressure on their wedges. So absolutely. He's what I saw last week was some of the best ball striking on the planet. And 61 the final round at Firestone
is remarkable.
Yeah,
it's remarkable.
Yeah, but I think that the biggest thing I took out of my I got about 9 holes in yesterday was what was really interesting to me was the greens are they have the sub-air system, so they're able to control the moisture in the greens. And it just looked to me like you could be 1 or 2 yards off, and it could be the difference in 40 feet in where your ball is on a green based on where the slopes are and that kind of thing, which puts tremendous pressure on being able to control your yardages and that kind of thing. So if Rory just plays, if he's healthy and feels good about where he is in terms of the reps he has and all, I think he could have a very good week.
As is customary, a lot of conversation about whether this will be Ricky Fowler's first major. How does this set up for his game?
He's won there. I think that was his first tour win, wasn't it?
I know it was Rory's first tour win. I don't know.
I will look that up while you're talking about him.
I think there have been quite a few named players that was their first win. Statistically speaking,
just a matter of time, probably, right, with Ricky.
Yeah, but a very good golf course for him, and when you look at the stats, I mean, he's probably the pick when you look at the overall stats on tour this year and how well he's played in majors. I think someone that may or may not, unless you follow golf pretty closely, stick out to you is Charlie Hoffman's playing some really good golf and has been playing well lately. A player that – and, you know, a lot of people think that it's going to take a bomber off the tee, but a player like Bill Haas, who's a very, very good driver of the golf ball, really, really good iron player, very solid putter. That kind of player could play well here this week as well. I mean, you look at a Jim Furyk has played well at this golf course. It's not necessarily, even with all the changes they've made, it doesn't necessarily mean that the non-bomber crowd is out of it by any means.
Ricky did, that was his first PGA Tour win, 2012 at Wells Fargo. Yeah, sudden death playoff against Rory and DA Points. So there you go. That was 5 years ago.
So a few of them just...
Yeah, Matt Kuchar played well last month.
Yeah,
and I know you're a big fan of Matt's, obviously for a lot of reasons with the alma mater ties and things like that. But is this a course built for him with the way he's playing?
Yeah, the grinders, the guys who drive the ball well, they're gonna this golf course, even though it's gonna play long and it's gonna be soft, it's still gonna all come down to what these guys can do going into the greens and Kuch is just. He's proven that his game holds up in any conditions, and I think the big thing about what he did with the British Open was he didn't back up. You know, he didn't lose that golf tournament, and I think that's something that he's going to carry with him going forward, and hopefully a major's not too far down the road for him. I'd love to see it.
Bill McDonald with us, Gamecock Men's Golf Coach, as we preview the PGA Championship getting underway tomorrow. We'll have updates for you throughout the afternoon tomorrow and Friday as well.
I know you spent some time with Wesley. How's his game? I know he got the big win and a little bit of a struggle since then.
Yeah, Wesley's runs a little bit hot and cold. He's always been that way somewhat. But, I mean, he could have a very good week. He was Justin Bieber was in their group yesterday walking around with him, and that was kind of a little sideshow kind of thing, but he was playing with Bubba Watson, and I tell you, Wesley's picked up some distance. He was hanging in there with Watson on off the tee, and he looked really good. He looks very comfortable out there, and Wesley's the type of player that if he drives the ball well, he is probably one of the best. He's 39th in the world right now in the world golf rankings, but he might be the best wedge player in the world.
Oh wow!
And in my opinion, and definitely a very good putter. So if Wesley gets it in play off the tee, look out. He could have a good week.
I know you like John Rahm, the youngster coming along right now. He's at 20-1 with Matsuyama. I really feel like Matsuyama's odds are a little long for the way he's been playing, but maybe there's somebody who can go put something down and win some money. Jason Day at 15-1, obviously looking for another major. And then there's Dustin Johnson at 10-1. Dustin just didn't have it at the British. Again, it's about as local as it's going to get for Dustin, other than playing every year at Augusta, obviously. But of course, he's going to know well. Also, give us a few of those guys. We talked about Matsuyama already, but how you see Dustin playing right now? Jason Day, Rahm, as you again a guy you like, and maybe throw in your thoughts on Brooks Koepka, somebody you're obviously high on and has his first major this summer.
Yeah, I mean the two best athletes in the field are Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. And as far as they can dominate a golf course with their ball striking, and when they get hot with the putter, it's lights out. But Dustin, for whatever reason, hasn't been on the best form lately. But I think you saw it a little bit at the British Open. I mean, he can it's still there. I mean, he can get it turned around pretty quickly.
That's been his thing, though. It's just consistency,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just it. You know it's there. It's just a matter of putting it together for 4 days that has mm-hmm. not always been there for him.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see this week is going to boil down to how they handle those greens, where they put the pins, and how good they are. Dustin can drive the ball with the best in the world, and we saw that last year at Oakmont. I mean, he can just put on a clinic with length and accuracy, just like Brooks Koepka. But those guys are going to all, just like the rest of them, are going to have to be able to control their shots into the green complexes.
It doesn't seem like the thicker rough would bother somebody like Brooks Koepka as much as maybe some of the other players, because he's such a physically fit kind of guy.
It's like a tight end.
Well, and what you're seeing with the – there are two schools of thought on playing a golf course with rough. One is, do you hit a shorter club off the tee just to get it in the fairway, or do you just bomb it down there and try to hit a wedge on the green? And those guys are so long, Rory included, that they might as well hit driver in a lot of cases. And if they do miss the fairway, they're hitting a much shorter club into the green. And they're better with a wedge out of the rough than most guys are with a 5 or 6 iron right. back in the fairway, 200 yards. So,
well, and for those guys too, and just from your perspective as a coach, a teacher, a player, all of it, I mean, when we're talking about those kind of guys, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, some of the big long hitters, I mean, what are we talking about in terms of them using a 3-wood instead? Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I feel like 3-wood 8-iron would still be fantastic for them, and it seems rather doable. I know they'd rather use a wedge. I would too. You would too. But the way they hit 8-irons these days.
Well, yeah. And you're going to see a lot of 3-woods with those guys when they have to turn it right to left off the tee. A lot of them can't turn their drivers, or they don't trust turning their drivers right to left. The right-handed players hitting draws with the new technology, so that you'll see a lot of 3-woods. One thing you'll see about with Quail Hollow is a lot of the ramps, I call them, in the fairways and all. I mean, like especially on 10, if you get a little bit downwind and you hit a 3-wood off the tee, you might hit it to the shelf, but if you carry it another 15, 20 yards, you get 60 yards a roll because you hit one of those ramps, and that's the option they have to weigh is it worth trying to get that extra? It's almost sometimes up to 80, 100 yards if you get catch the right bounce.
You sort of alluded to this, but as we kind of wrap up a preview here, how much different is this course right now than what? Because so many fans around here have gone up there year after year to, again, watch one of the best tour stops of the regular season. So how much, and you know the course very well, you played it, you were up there just yesterday. I mean, how different is it?
This golf course is nothing like the Wells Fargo, or back in the day, I actually Monday qualified for the Wachovia my first year coaching here in 2007, and it was bent grass greens and overseeded rough, which played almost like a bent grass. The whole golf course was overseeded for the most part, and now you have firm Bermuda greens and you have Bermuda rough, which in a totally different time of year. They're used to seeing it in May. Matter of fact, after 2007, when I played, the tour came in and started cutting all the rough down, and so they've never played a golf course of rough and never played it with firm Bermuda greens. You've got new golf holes, completely new routing on the first five holes. That in and of itself is very different for that place. I think you're going to see coming down the stretch what they call, is it Ron Green, the writer in Charlotte, called it the Green Mile, dubbed it the Green Mile, the 16, 17, and 18. You're going to really see some exciting golf in those final three holes. You always do. You see some train wrecks too.
Right.
But I think that I think you can eliminate this half of this field today. I think just with the conditions and the way the golf course is set up, I think you got 20 club pros like myself that are just happy to be there, and you got quite a few guys who just can't handle it physically or mentally. And then you've probably got 50 or 60 guys that legitimately have an opportunity, and then maybe only about a third of those are ready to handle the mental grind and the physical grind it's going to take. So I think you're going to see quite a test, and with the weather and everything, it's going to be get better have a good caddy, better have an extra pair of shoes, and be ready for a real grind in this rain.
You know, some club pro from like the Des Moines Muni is going to win now. You realize that, right?
Yeah. I hope so.
That would be
great.
That would be spectacular.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah, it'd be spectacular. That'd be good.
Des Moines. That's who's the golfer on tour?
Zach Johnson.
Yeah.
Played at Drake.
Yeah.
And Iowa wouldn't recruit him.
Well, Zach finished second to Hideki the other day. He just was five or six shots back.
He's a good player for this golf course.
He just station to station golf, but it's won him a couple of majors and a lot of money. So nothing wrong with that. Coach, always appreciate you. Have fun up there. We'll try to lean on you maybe Friday. Now, I guess the rules aren't quite as strict. Like, you can actually have your phone on you. You just can't use it while you're watching golf. But they don't take it from you like over at Augusta National. So that's the only major where you just can't
turn that ringer off. They might.
If I ever call you from Augusta National, it's going
to
be.
Well, I know I don't want that to happen. That's true. You will have made it. That's true. If you have that ability and they don't call over to Coach Tanner and say, I don't know what he's been doing, but you better think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be good. We'll try to lean on you again on Friday or something like that.
We'd love to talk again.
Yeah, have fun up there. Always appreciate you. That's Bill McDonald, Billy Mac Golf, to follow him on Twitter. And next time we talk to you, too, we'll talk a lot more about your team, your ball club, as I say far too often to you, about what you all will be doing. So we'll talk to you again here real soon.
Thanks, Coach.